We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is the WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome in. We're focusing this morning on the city of Murfreesboro and the Murfreesboro Police Department. Visiting with us, the Murfreesboro Police Chief, Michael Bowen. Michael, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today. Beautiful day.
Yes, sir.
It's 70-something, around 70 right now. It was 66 early this morning, and it's fall. It feels like it's here. I know we can be surprised again.
Football starting. It's that time of year.
Yeah. Larry Flowers is with us, too. Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Bart.
Now, you're originally from, what is your state?
Originally from Mississippi, by way of Texas.
You took the long way around.
Yeah.
But both of them are warmer than us.
Exactly. A different heat. That heat hits differently now when I go home to visit.
Is it more humid?
It is a lot more humid.
So, and of course, everybody, when they move here, they say, oh, I can't stand it. It's so humid. But if you live here for a while, you get used to it.
Right, you do.
You don't think about it. Sort of like, Michael, you're probably not this old, but I grew up at a time we did not have air conditioners at first in our houses. And then we eventually got the window units, which was almost like not having one. And you certainly didn't have them in your car. But we didn't think about it.
Yeah. I remember the car part, that air conditioners were options. And I remember my dad retired, moving from Oklahoma back home to Tennessee in middle of summer, 1969 Ford Falcon, no air conditioner.
But you rolled the window down.
Rolled the windows down, and yeah.
And you felt good. I mean, you didn't think about it. It wasn't. But I remember we hit a stretch of 100-degree days.
Right.
And there were big signs out in front of the movie theaters, come on in, we're air-conditioned. And I think Harvey's department store had the signs, we're air-conditioned, come in.
Yeah, I don't remember that far back, but I do remember the cars, and I remember Mom having the LTD with the air conditioner and everybody wanting to ride with her, but somebody had to ride with Dad, so I got volunteered.
Well, let's look at the Murfreesboro Police Department. Here we are into a new month, September. Does September bring any unique advantage, any unique things people need to be aware of?
Not really. It's just kind of a transition from August. You know, school's getting started, college is back in session, that kind of thing. So you got to get used to the new traffic patterns and things like that. Make sure you're watching these school zones. But really, it's just that transition to school's out and then coming back into session. And it's a huge difference. I know in the summertime I get excited because my drive to work is probably cut in half when everything's out. But, you know, it's just part of it.
So we're back to heavy traffic.
so allow yourself more time and just.
While we're talking about traffic, is there anything that you need to encourage people to be more watchful of, to try not to be a part of the issue?
I think the biggest thing continues to be, just across the state, is to make sure you're not on those cell phones when you're driving, not being distracted, you know, just focus on the road, what's around you, and just making sure that's your priority every time you're behind the wheel. And if you're one of those that's teaching younger drivers, just kind of tell them to focus on that as well. And I know we have hands-free driving, and that's great and everything, but really, if you can just turn off any distraction in that vehicle, you're a lot better off, and just pay attention to what's going on around you.
Yeah. And find the radio station or whatever that you want to listen to when you're driving before you start driving. That's probably as big of a distraction as using your cell phone.
Yeah, I just keep mine on WGNS, and there's no need to change.
I mean, I like this guy. So that's the way to do this. He has found the answer. Well, you have some areas that have road construction. Especially Medical Center Parkway. I guess they're expanding that to six lanes all the way out.
Right. Two huge projects, I think, Medical Center, and then looking at that part of Memorial out past Cherry Lane, out to Walter Hill. Those are two projects that are coming online. Of course, then there's that Cherry Lane Corridor project. So there's a lot happening, a lot going on. The north end of town is definitely starting to see its share of growth. It kind of seemed, I live on the north end, so it kind of looked like we were lagging the south and west end, but a lot of things happening now.
Now, out where you live, a part of it is wide, part of Memorial is wide, but starting at Cherry Lane, where it narrows down at the signal, traffic signal, it's what, two lanes there?
Two lanes.
And are they going to make that?
Yeah. They're going to widen that, yeah.
All the way to the bridge or all the way?
I think to the bridge.
Okay.
Yeah, don't quote me on that. I've sat in enough of these meetings where that was discussed, but I believe that's the scope of the project. I know the city's done some press releases on those particular projects.
Yeah, so when we've had them on, but I just, like you, I don't remember the exact.
Yes, so I'd have to go back and refer, but something tells me the bridge at Walter Hill.
That will make a big difference.
It will.
That should take, that's a pretty straight stretch of road, and it probably has land on either side that the city has actually received without a whole lot of problems.
Yeah. But I just look back and moving out there, and I just remember my wife going, "Man, this is so far out in the country. Do we want to live out in the country? Well, yeah, why do we want to move this far out?
There's nothing out here.
Now
there's everything.
Absolutely, yeah, it's good stuff.
And more on the way. We still have a lot of farms. It's interesting to see the farms that are right there near SportsCom. And on out a little bit, there's some good-sized farms.
Right, right.
And you wonder, how long are they going to be with us? Because that's going to be developed, no question.
Right, no doubt. I know we've got that big subdivision going in off of, DeJarnet.
Off
of Compton near
okay.
Lake Brook. Yeah, I lost my train of thought there for a second. Yeah, so, yeah, there's still... It shocks me, too, that there's still a lot of undeveloped land inside the city.
It's close inside sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. It's good stuff. I just hope that the housing and the market changes to where
people's houses are selling. Hopefully they start selling again.
Yeah, and things are a little bit more affordable. So we'll see how that goes.
I think affordable would be better than a change in interest rates.
Right.
I think you cannot sell homes at 1% to 3% interest and have the rest of the economy work.
Right.
Historically, I think it's been 6% through the years. That's what interest rates should be. If it's way above that, it kills it. If it's way below it, it kills the whole economy.
Yeah.
So, but time will tell. We need to get the prices of the homes back in shape.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody's subdivision. I mean, we can always talk about the past, but man, I remember when somebody built a $100,000 house, you're like, wow, they're loaded, man.
Yeah.
They're loaded.
And now you can't get a starter home for what, $400,000 or so?
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Now, as we grow and you mentioned all of these subdivisions coming, are we set pretty well for a police force? Do we have enough officers to patrol those areas?
Yeah. So, We always do a comparison with the Nashville, the Memphis, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Clarksville, Jackson. We kind of look at those numbers and just do a comparison as far as number of officers per population. And when you do officers per population, that's probably the roughest way to figure staffing needs. But once you kind of hit, hey, I'm at that 2.1 per thousand, then you can start looking at workload indicators, things like that, to adjust and kind of fine-tune your staffing levels. But right now, we're still targeting that 2.1 level. Just looking at the projected growth and what's going on around us, it looks like we're going to hire on average for the next 10 years about 15 officers per year to keep up with growth. And that's going to be challenging because we know economies can decline, economies can have up periods. So I say on average, because there might be 1 year where you can only hire 10. 1 year you might have to make up the difference and bring on more than that. And of course, the one of the biggest challenges too is just not overwhelming your training staff and making sure that you bring it in a organized manner to where you're not just in chaos all the time with your training staff and facilities.
We had yesterday the Rutherford County School Superintendent on the radio, and he had some interesting information about the growth. Rutherford County schools are now in the top 100 largest in the whole United States. That's big. And so we are inching school population-wise right up there close to Knox County, Knoxville. How does our police department size compare to Knox County or Knoxville?
Knoxville, I don't have those numbers in front of me. I wouldn't be able to speak to that specifically. I don't have that number in front of me. I do know that we're close and we use them as a comparison. I know that there's some different challenges. I know the square mile of the city of Knoxville is a lot larger than the city of Murfreesboro, so that presents its own set of unique challenges as far as response times, you know, things like that. But I don't have that specific number in front of me. And Clayton's playing hooky today, so I would say, hey, will you mind looking that up? Because Clayton works up in the office near me, and or Captain Williams, and he helps me run these numbers, but...
He's on top of it always. Yeah. He is a great addition to the police department.
I want to say they're in that 2-3, 2-4 ratio, and we're around that 2-something ratio. So we're close. It's not widely differing.
Yeah.
So,
quietly in the corner is Public Information Officer Larry Williams, or Larry Flowers. I have a friend named Larry Williams.
Hey, Larry Williams.
So
I've been called worse, though, boy.
Well, Larry's a nice guy.
Same Larry.
I'm sorry.
No.
At any rate, Larry Flowers is Public Information Officer, and you have been busy for the past couple of weeks. We seem to have had quite a few vehicle accidents, some fatalities.
Right.
What can we do to reduce that? Is there anything we can do to reduce that? Do you see any trends, or do you want to share some information about some of those?
Well, we have a traffic unit that's dedicated to, you know, patrolling for traffic violations and things of that nature. So they do see quite a lot of crashes in our city, whether they're a little minor crashes to, you know, injury crashes. So, you know, as Chief mentioned earlier, you know, distracted driving. Just get off those phones, you know. Don't put on makeup as you're driving, you know. Eating behind the wheels, those type things all contribute to accidents. On Tuesday, I've been trying to put out just a few traffic safety tips every Tuesday, just to remind people once a week, you know, what not to do when you're behind the wheel, whether it's running red lights, failing to yield, and things of that nature. So, you know, that seemed to get a lot of traction on social media. When we post those things, people are, you know, will say, hey, well, why don't you, you know, take a look at people making illegal turns or things of that nature. So our traffic unit, again, are out there. A lot of times, you know, they may not be as visible as you think because they're usually in unmarked cars. So when people typically like to see the ones with marked cars out here all the time, and those patrol officers, they do also, you know, are out here stopping people and looking for traffic violators. But mainly our traffic unit is dedicated, and Chief can probably talk more. He increased that unit and added more officers to that that traffic unit to try to help with these type problems.
Tell us about that, Chief, if you would. Some increases in the traffic unit.
Yeah, so basically, I want to say it's about 2 years ago, we brought a traffic unit, dedicated traffic unit, back online. Of course, you have to look at the historically, you know, the staffing issues a couple of years ago, so it's still not at its maximum number. Our staffing has gotten a whole lot better, and we've got a lot of people in training. We added 13 officer positions this year that we're hiring for, but we have a large group of officers that are now currently in training, academy, whatever, that will really, we haven't really seen their benefit yet, but once they roll off the program and start performing solo duties, we'll be able to expand on that traffic unit. I know we also want to look at our host unit and expand it, our homeless outreach services team. We also want to expand it as well. So a lot of this hiring is starting to pay dividends. We're still a little bit out, maybe a little later this year, early next year, we'll start seeing that. And that is one of my goals, is to add to that traffic unit and get that enforcement increased in areas. And it's surprising, you know, years ago, people used to be, you know, talk about enforcement, you know, speed traps, things like that. But quite a few calls and complaints where people are wanting that enforcement, wanting to see us out there conducting those enforcement activities. So I'll say that if you do have an area that's of concern, you can go online, you can report it to our traffic unit. Lieutenant Farrell will go through those. We got the ability to put out they're not cameras per se, but we have devices we can put out in neighborhoods, and we can measure speed, we can see what traffic patterns are, and we'll typically keep them out there a week or maybe a little bit more, and we can tell, hey, there's a speeding problem here, there's not a speeding problem here. If there is a speeding problem, we can isolate it to the times of day, the speeds of vehicles, things like that. So there's a lot we can do if there's a particular problem in your neighborhood. Just report it to us, and we'll do what we can.
Right. And I may add, Bart, we featured one of our success stories where there was this driver every morning on South Church Street will make an illegal turn, U-turn, mm-hmm. just to try to avoid traffic every single day. So you had tons of callers calling in to report this white BMW that was making an illegal turn. Our officers sat and they watched and they watched, and they finally caught him in the act. Gave him a ticket, and he admitted, yeah, I did it, and I won't be doing it anymore. So, yeah, and that simply
came. Why was he doing it? I mean, he should know.
Well, trying to avoid traffic, didn't want to wait his turn, and so he would always go down, make an illegal U-turn, just try to get ahead of traffic.
Oh,
and that was reported online on our website, and you can submit a traffic complaint, and several people submitted him, and we were able to get, him stopped, and therefore gave him a citation, and he says, hey, I've learned my lesson, I won't be doing that again.
We have a shout out for the police department that we just received a text message from a listener, and they said, I have a business in downtown Murfreesboro, and I would like to compliment the special group of police officers who have caring hearts, and they're patrolling the downtown business, keeping us safe and also helping the homeless population be more successful in their endeavors. They said that yesterday I saw on a park bench some police officers, as well as a person who was consulting with them, and it had on their back consulted or something of that sort. And I'm just curious, what were they doing? So I guess that must be one of your, do you have a group of psychologists or something?
Yeah. So what that sounds like, I don't know about that particular incident, but what it sounds like to me is maybe one of the co-responders with one of the host officers up there talking to an individual. So I don't know what attracted them to that area, if it was a complaint or if they just happened on that individual. But yeah, more than likely it sounds like somebody maybe just with the host unit, the co-responder, maybe just having some type of dialogue, seeing if there's any needs or anything that need to be done for that individual.
So the co-responder is there to help. Maybe they're suicidal, or maybe they... Who yeah. knows what?
Yeah. So you were at the town hall meeting a couple of weeks ago. We always go back and say that we're trying to do more than move people from street corner to street corner. I think the long-term goal for us is to find long-term resources that we can connect homeless with, or to find family members, or to find something that provides more of a long-term solution other than just moving somebody down the road. So you have different individuals out there. You have some individuals that are just homeless and have no other outlying issues. And you have individuals that may have drug addiction. You may have some that have mental health issues. So the co-responders are definitely good at helping us identify those individuals and creating a dialogue with those individuals. And like I said, hopefully finding some type of long-term resource.
This morning, we're focusing on the city of Murfreesboro and the law enforcement in Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen is with us, along with Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. We're going to take a small break, and we'll come back and answer more of your questions. If you have questions, you can talk or text, whichever you prefer, talk or text, all at 615-893-1450. Get your questions in. 615-893-1450.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago. And we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
Hey, this is Dan with Music World and Drummer's Den. Come in for your guitars, keyboards, drums. We have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least master prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
A few spotty showers and thunderstorms possible late this afternoon. Blend of clouds and sunshine develops a high into the mid-80s. Tonight, slight chance for storms late, a low of 64. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from the WGNS Rutherford Weather Center. Currently, it's 65.
From lift kits to tires, Tire World has the experts and the knowledge to get it done.
This is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local rough country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. We're talking law and orders this morning. With us from the Murfreesboro Police Department, our chief, Michael Bowen, and Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. By the way, I want to say happy birthday to Brian Haley. Brian is the winner of the Slick Pig Delicious Banana Pudding. Happy birthday, Brian Haley. Also, our good neighbor of the day is Brett Rigsby. Brett Rigsby. He's always doing for others, from music to electrical. He is there taking care of helping you. Brett Rigsby, he receives flowers from Jenny Harrison and the family over there at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts. That's a loving family business, and they are there to help you. It's the place to go, I tell you. Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts, 117 South Academy Street. Welcome back. I understand you, a while back you were talking about you were now full, first time you've been full in years, but with the population growth, you're still needing to, you can't quit looking for the right officers.
Yeah, so we did get to a point to where we are just about fully staffed, and of course we added 13 to the budget this year, so those passed in July. So we're in the process of filling those vacancies, and you still have turnover, so we've got some additional positions to fill. We had about 80 individuals try out recently, came for our PT test, and after the process was complete, interviews, anything like that, we've got some, they're all in the back, not all of them, but a portion of those went to our background phase. So hopefully we'll be bringing them online this fall. I know in October, I think it's October, we should be starting another application process for a police officer with the goal of getting them hired by March. So I just encourage, if you're interested in that job in law enforcement, to give it a shot. And those individuals that may have tried out and did not succeed this time, I always encourage them to come back and try again. You'd be surprised that sometimes individuals have applied with us 2-3 times and eventually get that position. And in the meantime, they're developing their skills. They're getting jobs, whether it be working at a correctional facility or something that makes them a better candidate. So I'd always encourage you, if it's truly what you want to do, to keep reapplying. Our analyst positions, I know we were in the process of filling those. That was interesting. Had a couple of positions available. Over 400 applicants for those jobs, so it was quite competitive. And a lot of good candidates to pick from, and that just seems to be a job that a lot of people are interested in. Along with our crime scene investigators, we had a pretty good application process with those individuals as well, and we should have some people online here soon. Those are two very interesting jobs, and their contributions to the police department are enormous. They really do a lot for us.
We have an interesting question here from a listener. They say that they see some policemen who are overweight, sometimes dramatically overweight, and if they tried to do a foot pursuit, they might have a challenge in front of them. Is there a requirement to maintain your health and your weight in keeping with your height? And does that ever go away after you've been there for 20, 30, 40 years?
No, what we have is you have the initial hiring process. You have to go through PT testing. Of course, if there's certain units that you'd like to join, you have to go through PT testing. And then we have what we call return to duty PT testing. If you're ever out for a certain amount of time before you come back, you have to pass the PT test again. So the whole height to weight thing, really don't go by that. One of the best runners I ever saw was somebody that you would, by looking at him, wouldn't think would be that type of person. But as long as you can go out there and perform your job duties and do them well, I think that's what we look for.
Okay, so you do need some people, and come October or so, which is next month.
Yeah, and our PT test is online, so you can watch it and you can kind of see what we expect for that first test, and it gives you a chance to kind of lay out a some kind of program, I guess, prior to coming and taking it with us, to where you can practice and kind of get those skills down.
Now, I know we've talked about this before, but it just seems to get more popular every time, and that is your real-time crime center. Is it still bustling, and is it are more things coming in line? You had some things that weren't quite connected yet?
Yeah, so the analyst positions I spoke about earlier, where we had over 400 applicants, that is, they'll be part of that real-time crime center. So the big challenge for us right now is making that operation longer in duration throughout the day. So we plan on extending the hours that we have analysts in those offices doing that type of work. The challenge for us right now is people want the information to be protected. So in protecting the information, you have to limit the people that have access to it. Mm-hmm. So right now, our current group of analysts, if they're off at home, whatever, holidays, whatever, they get called to sometimes help work cases, things like that are serious in nature. So the goal is now we can expand those hours on into, I think where our goal is to try to get around operational up to midnight when things kind of slow down. And then we'll have some analysts that are on call. But that's the biggest thing for us, is expanding the personnel. And then, of course, we still working through that state grant to get some LPRs on the state thoroughfares and onto the some of the interchanges out there. But I think a lot of that is the permits have been applied for and all that's in the works. So a lot more to come. I know we have some plans to add cameras to our park system, things like that. So there's I don't know that it's a project that'll ever be finished. I think it's probably one of those never-ending projects where you're constantly adding to, updating, things like that.
Well, new parks are coming online all
exactly,
the time.
Exactly.
The new Veterans Park is starting to grow. They're doing construction work on that right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure more greenways are in our future.
Yeah, and just the capabilities of those individuals. You know, I've said it before, you can buy fancy equipment, things like that. You've got to have the right people operating equipment and knowing what they're doing and just really having that mindset, investigative mindset. And they are really doing an excellent job, doing a wonderful job in that unit, and couldn't be more proud of them.
Here's another question from a listener. This one says, I've been fascinated with the audio program that you have for the real-time crime center, where you can detect whether it's a firecracker or a gun that goes off, and then you can triangulate and get where it is. Did you say within 90 feet? They are amazed at that, and share how that's working for you, and is it totally set up?
Yeah, so remember, Murfreesboro is 60-something square miles, so the coverage for the gunshot detection equipment is less than square 5 miles. And of course, it's a lot of that is placed based on historical data, you know, of where incidents have occurred in the past. But yeah, the big challenge for us was sometimes we get shots fired calls, or if you're out working late at night, you could hear it, but you really couldn't quite pinpoint where it was coming from. But this gives us the ability to respond to a specific area and, like I said, get very close to where it is. And where it benefits us is shell casings, any evidence, potentially having property damage, things like that. It gets us in the area to where we can look for all those things. And surprisingly, not all shots, fire calls, go reported right from the public. Sometimes we get... there may be zero calls on it, but the detection equipment, I know I can recall one incident where it wasn't called in by the public, but the detection equipment picked it up. They were able to go to a location, find out that something had occurred.
What do those people say? Are they surprised, or does it make them think twice before doing things in the future, I wonder?
Yeah, I think this particular individual, I can't remember what they were doing, Larry. It was that one where we hadn't even had it up. It wasn't really up and running yet. But I think they went in the backyard and just decided to discharge a few rounds.
Right.
And yeah. So
what can they say when you show up? Have you been firing a gun?
yeah. But like I said, it gives us the ability to really look at evidence, things like that. I know there was a particular case. It was on the other side of the interstate where apparently this house had been shot at, and people weren't prepared with the response, and we could not find where it had been reported. And just goes to show that not all the time, not every time incident occurs does somebody pick up the phone and call it in.
Right.
Did you see it on the on this audio
system?
No.
This is prior to that. Yeah.
Okay.
But it just illustrates that that these aren't called in all the time.
Out of curiosity, at nighttime, I'm sure you've noticed it, you can hear things a lot farther away. Like I can hear trains going by at night, and I don't have a train track that close to my house. I can't hear it in the daytime,
right?
But I hear it at night.
Yeah.
Do the gunshots, can you hear them farther away at night?
You can hear them, but it's hard to accurately pinpoint where
they're
at.
So lose the ability to triangulate after a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the devices can do it, but as an individual standing out in the back parking lot of the PD hearing something, you might have a problem saying, hey, it's this distance in that direction. You know, it can be challenging sometimes.
How is it, since you mentioned the Murfreesboro Police Department, you moved into that facility, how many years ago now?
2018.
Seven. Okay. 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Are there any changes that are needed now? Any additions? We must have hit Larry.
It's been great for us. It's been a game changer for us. And of course, when that place was built, it was designed for a 2030 build out. So basically, by 2030, we're supposed to reach capacity in that building. And it's probably coming along a little quicker than what we thought, but it's pretty close to what we had projected. But filling up a lot. We've already started converting some closets into office space, and but it's been a game changer for us, and we're really fortunate to have that. have that available to us.
Do you have additional property behind it that would enable you to expand? I don't know how much land. There's a lot of land behind you, but it may be all evergreen cemetery.
It's evergreen, and what little bit of property that's behind there we have to use for parking. And that's the big challenge for us right now is parking. But that area, I know we've took it to council, let's see, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, some improvements in that back parking area, including some repaving, things like that, to get our parking situation a little bit better. But as far as usable, buildable land, no. It's prone to flooding a little bit. That parking lot has seen some water get pretty high at times. So, and I think a lot of people, if they remember the old medical center, can remember that sometimes when it rained real heavy, that back parking lot would get up.
Now, here's another listener who's saying, with the build out or with the filling up of that facility expected in October, does that mean you might consider putting precincts, which has been talked about for many years, in different parts of the community and building separate, smaller police departments there?
Yeah. No, and I may have misspoke. So did you say fill up by October?
No, you said by 2030.
Yeah, so precincts have always been talked about throughout the years. Oh, excuse me.
That's okay.
I don't know if you remember.
Turn it toward you a little bit. You physically.
I start coughing.
You're talking into the side of it, though.
Yeah, I don't want to start coughing in this thing. I can't find the red button down here. I don't know if you remember. I want to say it was around 2008-ish, 2007, before the economy tanked. Yeah, yeah. There was actually we actually designed a precinct that's out where the fire station is. They're off of Fortress, around the Blackman community, Blackman High School. So we actually had a design for a precinct in that area, and of course the economy went downhill and things were kind of postponed. In the meantime, that property became available on Highland, and the question was asked, hey, do you want to pursue a precinct or do you want to look at a headquarters facility? And of course the natural thing to do was go with the headquarters, because we were just we were so spread out across the city in different locations. So the thought process is, hey, we'll go to the headquarters and at some point revisit a precinct later. I know we've talked about it from time to time. I know we've included it in our CIP from time to time. And it's a discussion that'll be had at some point. I don't know when that'll be, but I know that it's on the radar. It's just a matter of when do you have that discussion and how do you proceed. I know that, there's competing, you have the fire department needing additional stations. So there's a lot of projects that are needed for a growing city. So it's just a matter of just finding our time and discussing it when called to do so.
Well, while we're looking at precincts, what do you need at a precinct? I mean, what is it, just a place for the policeman to begin the day, or do you need a meeting room? What do you need?
What you would do is you'd basically divide. We basically run an east side and west side, so what you would do is you'd just take your west side resources, you'd place them out at the precinct, they'd report to that area for work, and you'd basically have just some office space, some roll call space, maybe a community room, something like that, some evidence facilities, like we have on Highland. You'd have a person that people can go into, get reports, things like that. So you would have those abilities. The big thing it helps on too is the travel time officers have. I mean, mm-hmm. if you get somebody on the farthest part of the west side of town in the middle of the busiest traffic time, and they've got to drop off evidence at the PD or do something at the facility, I mean, you're talking about, taking that officer out of service for hour or more. By the time they get to the PD, conduct their business, head back to their district, it can be time consuming. So
well, you mentioned about the fire station number 4. You have one over by Mitchell Nielsen School that's used for electronics and things of that sort. Do you foresee possibly as a precinct building something alongside Murfreesboro Fire Department's locations?
That would be that'd be a question I'd have to talk to our management about. So as far as locations, things like that, timelines, that would be something I would have to discuss with administration, city administration. But like I said, I know there's a need, a specific need for one, possibly two fire stations. So we'll have to kind of see where we fit in the grand scheme of that, because I know the ratings and things like that are very important in getting that fire protection out there. I understand that those are priorities as well, so we'll just have to see all.
So are there areas that right now you can say, I wish we had a precinct serving that area, because it's pretty far away from our headquarters, and they need to start their day and be in the area that they're serving for quicker answering to calls?
Yeah, so anything on the west side near a couple major thoroughfares would be ideal. Go pretty far out on the west side to where if we had to respond to different parts of the city, we'd have those major roadways that we could get on. And it also helps your citizens in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. to where if you're way out there on the west side and you have to come by the police department, you'd have, instead of coming into town through all the traffic and things like that, you can go outside and kind of drive away from the city and get to a precinct. So something on the edge out there near a couple of major thoroughfares would be ideal. So
the west side is the area you would look to first, yeah. It looks like.
You have to be on the other side of the interstate. You need to be on the other side of the interstate. We've said it, that's just kind of like a natural barrier. You've got a couple of roads across the interstate, so if you needed resources or need to set up something on that side of town, you need to be on the other side of that interstate.
Now, you mentioned offering places for the public to go to and things of that sort, which brings to mind, right now they can exchange, meet in the parking lot and exchange right. goods with other people, feel safe doing that,
right.
exchange parents where the children are,
right.
you know, given court parental guidance and stuff like that. They change the children in your parking lot.
Yeah.
People drop off, I think, needles, don't they, and medicines and things of that sort?
Yeah, not needles, but we do have a prescription drug box that's in the lobby. All you have to do is bring in old medicine and old prescription medicine and drop it in the box. We don't ask questions. It's in there. You just drop the handle, put your stuff in there, and no questions asked. And that's pretty important when you have a loved one passed away that had a shelf full of medication. You have had a recent surgery where you had painkillers, things like that you didn't use. You know, dispose of those things properly and
don't flush them.
That's the recommendation, that you take them to a facility and have them properly disposed of. I think they're finding all kinds of things in your drinking water, and I know that it gets pretty scientific as parts per billion or whatever, but yeah, the best way to dispose of those is if you can go to a facility that accepts that type of product and just drop it off there. And like I said, we do it, and we have the ability to properly dispose of it.
Very good.
And those drugs that you drop off,
mm-hmm.
Keeps them out of hand of other people.
Yeah.
It definitely keeps them out of hands of other people, and take that temptation away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially if you have teenagers in the house,
visitors,
or grandchildren, or any of those, they get those, and their friends see them, and they're curious, and they want to try them.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very dangerous.
Absolutely.
We have about a minute left in our broadcast this morning. Any final thoughts you want to share?
You talked about no air conditioner cars.
Yes.
Made me think of the 40-year reunion for the class of 1985's September. So to all the class of 85 students from Oakland and Riverdale, just give me a shout out.
Are you in the class?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So there you go.
Yeah.
You're going to meet with your old friends.
Yes,
we still meet in our class. We meet every first Thursday for lunch.
Yeah.
And nobody looks like they used to.
Absolutely. I've gotten thinner.
Oh, yeah. And I've gotten younger in my dreams.
Yeah.
Hey, have a great day. Murfreesboro Police Chief Michael Bowen with us, along with Public Information Officer Larry Flowers. Larry, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Both of you have a super day.
Thank you.